Hey guys, welcome back to Last Set Podcast. Now, start this podcast off with a little joke. What do you get when a powerlifter, a fitness manager, and a bodybuilder, and a grappler walk up to a bar?
What?
What is it?
They lift it.
Oh. Okay.
That's the shittiest thing, but I had to say it. I'll never get to use that joke ever again. Moving on, guys. Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back. Let's get the introductions going. Boys, say who you are and what you do, starting with Johnny.
Hey, guys. My name's Johnny Bell. I'm a natural powerlifter out of Ruchi's gym. I'm currently 23, and I am a coach, strength coach.
Hi, my name's Mark. I am a recently discovered, now I'm a bodybuilder, apparently. used to be a musician, now I'm doing something completely different, and that's where my life's headed at the moment.
My name's Callum. I'm a face-to-face coach and a gym manager.
Yeah, just hold it up a little bit more, close to your face, scooch it up a light, lift it up like that. There we go.
Hit me a bit better.
Huh? Yeah, that's better now. Perfect. Oh, cool. So, guys, the reason why we did this was because we did a Saturday session not that too long ago, and believe it or not, I actually racked up a whole bunch of downloads. Now, Cal, I was also going to tell you this. Now, I've done over 135 episodes of the podcast right now.
Getting up there now, bud.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. And it's been doing it for 2 years now. I mean, I've had a lot of guests on. You're still in the top 10.
Still in the top 10.
And
what
number? 10th. But the reason being is because they had the people who came on before you have the advantage over you. But the reason why I thought it was so good to have you in here as well was because I'm not shitting on you, but you don't have a big following, but you have more influence than someone who has more than like 10,000 followers. And those are some of the people I get on. And that's the weirdest thing about my channel as well. I can get someone, I'll get a fighter on or get someone who's semi-famous on and all that. And they can have like thousands and thousands of followers, but they don't have a lot of actual people who, you know, want to follow their life and what they do. Now, Mark, you did a really good job as well. It took a time, but got up there. And Johnny, you're the one I got the most feedback from because they said that was probably one of the most genuine conversations I had. So that's why I wanted to get all three of you guys back here in this studio today. So if this turns into something good, and that's awesome. If not, oh, well, I mean, what a man can only try. Anyway, gentlemen, so I've also been asked a few of these questions as well, which we'll be asking today, which how this podcast will run. Starting off, now, for the record as well, we are all in our 20s as well, so we don't have all the information. These are just based off information that we've learned and anecdotes that we have, okay? So the first question is, how do you balance social life and training, especially when you're either cutting or getting ready for a competition? Starting with whoever wants to go first.
I'll run it. I had this actual conversation with a client today, and the takeaway we had from it was when you say no to some social event, you're saying yes to yourself. So it's not necessarily a no across the board to your life. It's a no to one area, but a yes to the other.
Interesting. Okay. Now, Mark, you're someone who's competed in bodybuilding, and the only one here pretty much who has. What did you have to go through when it comes to getting invited to social events and all those sorts of things while you were getting ready for the competition?
I don't know if I am the best person to ask, because at the time that I had started prep, I had sort of begun to distance myself from my sort of social circle within sort of the music realm anyway, because I was slowly drifting away from like my passion of music and steeping myself into bodybuilding. So naturally, like, I wasn't going to as many social events regardless, because I was distancing myself because of other reasons. But yeah, I guess what Callum said, I would agree. I think you have to weigh up whether or not is this social event gonna take me off track from my goals. And it also depends to what extent you're going to go to reach your goals. If you're going to compete in a bodybuilding competition, like, you're going to have to say no to a lot of things in the last 4 to 8 weeks of prep. But if you're just someone that's getting lean for the beach on summer, you can probably afford to go to some social events maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks, and it won't take you off track?
That's actually a good question, man. And it's a question I ask myself a lot because I've kind of had like a toxic relationship with myself in regards to this topic because quite like a few years ago, I'd found some inspirations, I say, Jocko Willink, David Goggins, and they always just box you in and force you to be, hey, like if this does not support your goal, don't do it. And that's what I've been doing for the past few years. But that's kind of pushed me down an avenue where I don't really enjoy myself and my life a lot. And recently I've been trying to balance my life again and write down my priorities. You know, what can I do to support myself and what can I do to support my priorities? But then again, what can I do to have a good life? So it's a really, really interesting thing with balance. To be honest, there is no balance. Sometimes you don't want to go to one thing because you just want, okay, no, I think I'm going to go out and just have 69 beers or something like that. I'm going to actually destroy myself. But then again, there's other occurrences where you're like, all right, maybe I shouldn't bring a kitchen scale to my grandma's 69th, something like that. You know what I mean? Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't weigh out everything. And maybe I shouldn't, you know, say no to the ice cream cake all the time. Mm. So for me, I think it's about finding priorities, but then again, placing things as a family, personal life, and your career/gym.
One of the things I'm always saying to young guys, like, you're at that point of your life where, you know, it's okay, you should be out there making mistakes and all that, but it's how you moderate everything as well. Like, if you've got a mates event coming up, and it's better to be there, even if it's for a short period of time, and then rather than sometimes for them not be there at all because you're in pro competition. And if your willpower is that strong, then you can go through it. And if someone offers you something, like at the party, you're drinking, and you're trying to get ready for a competition or whatever, you don't have to say, oh, I can't have that because I've got this coming up. That kind of boxes you, that definitely does boxes you in. I just say you don't want it. Because if you say you don't want it, they'll be like, oh, okay. And then maybe they might pressure a little bit. But if you keep saying that, but you don't give them the reason why, you shouldn't have to keep explaining yourself. The next thing is when it comes to like social circle as well, if you're going through something or you're working towards something, your real friends will be there for you. So it's a real test. That's the main thing. Because the ones who understand that, you know, you're committed to something and you're putting aside everything else, the ones who are really close to you will see that, whilst the selfish people are like, oh, he doesn't want anything to do with me. No, that's not the case. It's just there are bigger things at stake. And so the next thing, I just want you guys to talk amongst yourself because I'm going to turn the aircon on because I'm starting to sweat already in here. What is some gym stereotypes that you guys like and absolutely despise?
I hate the new TikTok boys.
Hey! You mean the ones with like the singlets and curly hair and all that stuff?
Exactly that type. Exactly that type.
I'm not a fan of the commercial gym PT. I got a lot of opinions on these so-called coaches.
Yeah, like you mean like all those Revo guys, you know what I mean?
Hey,
oh. We're not going to name names or businesses.
Okay, I'm just asking.
But the commercial gym PT, out of a generic course, that's the course itself is designed to just print money for the business and push people through. And it's not against these people or their personalities or anything. It's just their education background, I guess, and the way they have to, because the environment they're in, the commercial gym, it's all part of that. It's the commercial gym environment, the way they have to approach business. I hate that stereotype. And again, like I said, it's nothing personal. I just hate that stereotype of the commercial gym PT, the environment that they're in, the education that they're given, and then the outcome on the person that they're coaching. I don't love that whole stereotype.
Okay. If I were to be in the head of one of those companies and then I understood that, how would you correct something like that? Because you definitely got a point.
Create a product that has the end customer in mind. So not the person doing the course, the person that is going to be coached by the person doing the course. Mm-hmm. So addressing the problem, which is poor coaching at the source. So, like you said, the business, it would be basically remodeling how they approach training people, away from just hitting targets and addressing certain key areas that they think is essential, and having an approach based on what somebody might get out of the service.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that those coaching courses are too short?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, not too short. They serve a purpose. Yeah. They serve a purpose to put somebody above Gen Pop knowledge to help people. And it's just a different service to what Johnny offers, to what I offer, to what I think helps somebody best. But it makes help for people in the gym accessible. So do I agree with it and love the stereotype? No. Does it have a place? Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I've actually spoken about this many times before in the podcast with other PTs, and they all agree. And then I had, do you guys know who Adam Becker is? He runs PT Mechanics. So he runs this business where he helps PTs like get off the ground after they got out of the education phase. Yeah,
the money making scheme.
Yeah. Okay. So
university's any fucking different.
True.
We just paid way more and it took way longer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got a lot of benefit out of university, and I did as well. But same time, a lot of things did go out the window. But he was saying to me, like, the reason why a lot of PTs do not make it past the first 9 months, and now the first 9 months has become the first 6 months because of the market and supply and demand. It's because, like, there's fitness and health is so much to unpack. It's so big. And he's always saying, how long does it take, does it roughly to get a degree? I was like, 3 years, took me 3.5. Okay, how long does it take for you to become, let's say, a hairdresser? 3 years. And then how long does it take to become a PT? And I was like, oh, well, if you do a course, usually it's around about 6 months, three months. And he shook his head. He's like, no, some people become PTs in like 2-3 weeks. Yeah. And he said, that's why so many people get into it, and it's like a funnel. The ones who make it to the end are the ones who make the money and stay in it because they're going through the trenches and all that shit. So he was saying, we need, if it was best, it would ideally, in an ideal world, for PTs, it would have to be like a 3-year course. And by then, you've already done 3 years of it. It's like an apprenticeship. That way, you know how to go through everything and you get paid a wage, even if you can make some money with some clients, because you're never going to get like 6 figures by the year, first year of doing PT work, or you're never going to make like 10K a month just of your first year of PT work, unless, I don't know, you have a super massive following. But that will take years to build up. But you said that's why, and people put all their chips into something they just can't get everything out of. And that's why a lot of them drop out. So that's really like an issue. But like I said, if it was 3 years for one course, even though less people would do it, you reckon there'll be more of a successful outcome in the end of people dropping out. But I doubt something like that would happen. It would take ages for something like that to be structured. Mm. Yeah. Monk.
Sorry.
Stereotypes. What do we love? What do we hate?
Oh, yeah. The stereotype was, I was saying the TikTok boys.
TikTok boys.
I think...
You know, you're talking to a guy who's on TikTok quite often, though, then.
Yeah, as Johnny said, the curly-haired stringer, that, you know, vibing out in LA and all those types in America. Yeah, it's maybe less to do with the individuals and more to do with the trends that they promote on TikTok.
Like dancing in a supermarket with your shirt off?
Yeah, or just the... I guess, misinformation or ill-informed opinions that they spout, that kind of thing. Not a fan, I guess.
Fair enough.
And the Psalms goblins.
The
Psalms goblins.
It's school holidays, so they're out in full force right now. So that's for true. What about stuff that you actually like love to see in the gym these days?
I don't love anything, man. No, just to go off on Mark's and Callum's point, right? I just think there's an issue of America, honestly.
Okay.
Like, apart from the school shootings and stuff, but I think the gym culture in America, trends just pop up out of nowhere. Like all these like TikTok guys, they're from America. I have never seen them in, let's say, your typical commercial gym yet. Like the guys in the singlets with curly hair chewing their like necklaces whilst they're deadlifting, benching and squatting.
It's all in America, hey. It's starting to grow in Australia. Really? Like there's a couple guys in the Perth scene that I'm seeing on Instagram, like, ooh, I know where you got that stuff from.
Like Chasing Better 247, like all those reels and stuff.
I haven't actually seen those.
maybe you can check him out at Perth Motivated.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a pretty good like Perth-based highlight reel of all the local gyms and stuff. So it's pretty good. But is that what you're talking about? Like,
possibly.
okay. Fair enough. But what is it? And also, no one have to say as well. Like those people, they just. I feel like nowadays people are just trying to get more famous than it is actually work for something. You know what I mean? Like. I think I remember we talked about this with you as well, Cal, that if you I think there was a survey they did with all these school kids, and then they were just saying, what do you want to be when you're older? You know, some say, doctors, lawyers, teachers and all that, but more than 50% of them said, I just want to be famous. Because I feel like being famous is now something so easily more attainable, and it's because pretty much now there's more celebrities than ever. If you can figure out how to use that thing, by the way, I'm trying to
blowing hot air, bro. ain't AC, man.
Yeah, that's not AC, that's something else.
Gas box us.
We'll just shut that off. If you guys like roast to death, hope not.
I also think with the whole issue with these influencers, because the four founding fathers of the influencer scene, let's say for example Steve Cook, Joseph Rakich, all those OGs of the let's say Australian American industry, they've started something, right? And going on, let's say, expos, getting sponsorships, getting all these deals and money, living the lavish life. I think it's a very attractive and lucrative thing for these younger emerging influencers. And to be honest, I thought about it myself as well. You know what I mean? It's good to have a nice little discount code next to my name in my bio. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have these all highlight reels and get free supplements. I mean, hey, have a look at this new supplement. Check out this new clothing drop that's going to happen. It's good. It's fancy. Mm-hmm. But most of the time now, everyone's trying to do it. And it's a very saturated market, unfortunately.
Mm. Why do you think it's so such? Well, how do you think who's to blame for something like that? Or who would you put? It's hard to put it on one person, but how would you? You know what? One thing I actually just put point on that. You know what I'm getting so sick of seeing is those fucking red pill videos, man. And reject modernity, embrace masculinity. I'm just no.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, those fucking. Why would I go on TikTok? Now it's just ego. Seen from porn, and then it's a fucking embrace masculinity, reject modernity thing. And it's just because, like, I understand where they're going with those types of things as well, but who the hell is this person behind it, and what makes them so think that they're, you know, embracing masculinity just by posting this video? You know what I mean? Or they're going to, because if you, it goes back to the saying, if you have to say something, then you're not. You know, if I was like, oh, I'm a fucking alpha male, fuck you and all that. And then it's just like, what I see is a very insecure person, you know. So that's definitely one thing. And definitely in terms of TikTok influences, I just think it's because the power of social media and following, that's the main thing. And people will do anything these days for followers.
Mm.
And then when they actually keep going, it's like the only thing they know how to do and they just can't stop.
I can blame one person.
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg, man. So, that's how it started, man. Mark Zuckerberg, even Elon Musk too, man, because he owns Twitter now. Like, come on. I blame those two.
I thought him owning Twitter was a good thing, though.
Yeah.
But didn't Twitter sue him? Try to sue him or something like that?
Does he actually own it now?
I think so. He's a majority stake.
Oh, wow.
Don't quote me on this. I saw it on somewhere online. So
yeah. Yeah.
Also, did you guys see how like his father impregnated his stepdaughter?
No,
I saw that.
Elon.
Yeah, so Elon's father, I think, impregnated. I think Elon's stepdaughter, or was it like his father's stepdaughter? Something like that. Yeah. Something messed up. Yeah,
that is messed up.
I just stay away from media for this exact reason.
Yeah. I saw that pop up on my Instagram like two days ago. I was like, what is this?
Well, here's the thing. I don't actually even believe everything I see on social media these days. Yeah. Well, like because when you read the headline of an article, they just have the, like, six words. But then when you actually read it, it's like, no, that's actually not what happened and all of that compared to the article, so it gets clicks.
Mm.
But, fuck. Nay's one is naughty.
messed up, man. I mean, I saw a quote Elon said, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, the reason why humans were put on this planet were to reproduce. That's it. That's what he said. I mean, he's technically not wrong. Like,
they definitely took that way out of fucking.
Yeah, but like his whole family took
some
him out of
it. Been well, like, this I is mean, the headline and this is the quote I'm going to use. It's going to look real fucking good.
Well, isn't Elon Musk
way out of context?
Doesn't he have Asperger's?
I don't know, man.
There's something going on up there though with him. He's not 100. I think he's. I've read it. I remember someone saying he's not 100%.
Fuck no, he's like 120.
Yeah,
he's on, dude. He's on the next. Yeah. He's on the next wave, dude.
That's fucking cracked.
I know, but I got to. The biggest thing that we respect. The biggest thing people respect about him is that dude's fucking drive.
Yeah.
If you he has a biography, and he talked about how he built up all his companies, and he and his I think it was him and two other friends, and what they would do was they would work like 8-hour shifts around the clock. Like one guy would be the night shift, one guy would be the day shift, one guy would be the whatever the whatever is left, and they'll be sleeping on the floor of their business and all that. That's how they got it up, just doing code.
I also saw something that when he was in college, he actually turned his dorm or something like downstairs into a nightclub.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, so he got like door entry, and so that's how he actually sort of afforded all the money for his research and his side projects.
Damn.
We've all been to uni.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I was gonna say. Why, you know, when I first went to uni, I was so disappointed that none of the expectations of what I thought uni was like from seeing all those movies and TV shows.
Bro, when I went to uni,
it probably was like that. I was just boring as fuck. So
all I saw was this Joe Turner in a stringlet every day. You, man. You were literally the TikTok influencer now. You and your stringlet.
I did wear singlets. But that's the thing, we always work it out live. Those units where we'd be running around and doing shit. Look, man, I get sweaty and all that. It's Australia as well. It's the summer. I was out of high school. I was having a hot boy summer and all that. Nah, that's cool. That's cool. But what is one thing that you're really, really happy that you're seeing? I mean, sure, there's going to be something for you, Johnny. You know, the main thing I love to see the most is that guy who's like the biggest dude in the gym, but he's also like the most humble. He's the kind of guy that would bump hands with everybody, and he sets a good example.
That whole thing you just described, that's fucking their gym.
Yeah.
Been in it? I haven't.
Anybody there is the nicest person ever. I trained there once before the comp that I did last year, and everybody was so welcoming, so nice, and so helpful.
What about it?
You probably take
it
that
so
for
good?
Granted because you're there every day.
Yeah.
I still see it on social media, and I still see it.
Yeah, always.
When I've gone there for comps and things like that, or just to spectate.
Mm.
But the biggest guy in the gym, aka half their fucking members, are the nicest ones there.
That's just like the culture that have been instilled in us from day one that the owners, Dan and Paul, have set in place, honestly. We're a gym that we don't operate with headphones. So you're not allowed headphones in there?
You're not allowed headphones?
No, we're very community-based. So everyone at that gym, we have a good relationship with each other.
Okay.
We respect each other. Most of all, we have banter. Doesn't matter if you're lifting 50 kilos or 300 or 400, you're still a human being and you're here to support each other. And if you go to any novice conference of ours, doesn't matter how much you lift, you're getting a fist bump. How big or how small, guy or girl, whatever sexuality, you're getting a fist bump. You're getting cheers. That's how we operate. We don't look at the weight, we look at the lifter.
Yeah, unless it's sumo. Fuck that.
Oh, bro, come on. Come on, man.
Why does it?
I'm going to pull sumo too, don't worry.
I pull sumo, and I only pull sumo.
Do you
have
a video?
Like, do I have videos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have videos.
Is it trap bar, bro? Is it trap bar sumo?
No.
I've seen you do trap bar, man.
I love my trap bar and all that. That's it. But yeah, I only deadlift sumo. What the fuck? Why is it that that's like, you know, all of a sudden been outlawed in fitness community and all that? I never understood something.
Oh, I think sumo's fucking great.
Thank you.
Love the joke.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it should be outlawed. It's fucking great. For most people, well, it's some people, I should say, it suits their biomechanics and their sort of lever lengths and how they can set themselves up. So especially people with some sort of lower back problem, sumo is a very viable option. So I don't know why the fuck it's outlawed. It's just, I don't know. Same thing. Why does everyone hate the Smith machine? fuck's wrong with the Smith machine?
Yeah. I love it.
It's way better. I think I use it. I haven't had a barbell in my program for like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 mesos now, except for deadlifts. Mm. Like Smith machine, anything I need a bar for.
The only way I use a barbell now is for floor press. Mm. Because it also replicates
you hex by the deadlift,
or so. BJJ. It's one of the
what? You hex by the deadlift, so.
I got roasted on my own show. Damn, boys. Alright, moving on. Okay. So what advice would you give to someone who's trying to persuade their partner or best friend or friend or whatever to start lifting weights?
Don't, just let them be themselves.
Yeah. Don't persuade them.
If you're happy, just keep doing that. They'll come around or they won't.
Can you please repeat the question?
What advice would you give to someone who's trying to persuade their partner to start lifting weights?
Why are they trying to persuade their partner?
I didn't have that much context, but let's switch up some context, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Context matters, bro. Come on, bro.
Send the question straight back to your boss.
Okay. Let's say you got a friend and they're starting to get a little bit soft around the edges. You know, they're not looking very healthy.
Is this friend a guy or a girl?
We're all guys. So let's go context for guys.
Friends or partners now?
What's going on, man?
Okay, let's switch it up. All right, friends.
It's very variable. It's a fluid situation.
It is. All right, so let's switch it up. So what advice would you give to a guy who's got a friend who's, you know, starting to get a little bit soft around the edges, you know, like mentally you're seeing them sort of decline and you want to help them out as well, you know, and you know that if you get them lifting weights, obviously it's not going to magically solve their problems and all that, but we can agree that it will help it to some degree, you know, help improve their physical health and mental health. What advice would you give to someone?
Advice? I mean, I wouldn't go down the path of, oh, let's try and improve your body, because it's a very long-term process. I think I'd rather go down the path of, let's say, hey, let's come hang out with me. I go to the gym, let's hang out, I'm here for you, man. Let's go through this problem together. Let's have some fun. You know, have some fun at the gym. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd probably try to help them in a way that's separate from the gym or physicality. Because like body image and mental health is like a huge thing nowadays. and I guess probably stay away from any, like, I guess, unsolicited advice, you could say, like, unless they come to you and ask you, like, hey, like, I want to start improving my health. I want to start getting healthy. I want to run. I want to lift X weight. Then I probably wouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah, I generally wouldn't say anything. That old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Oof.
That sort of applies. My sort of approach to this is just be where the water is. When they're there, help them drink.
I'm thirsty, Callum.
Johnny, I've seen your bench.
Damn.
It's not great.
It's over.
Okay, just spread this out. I definitely agree. Yeah, so
it also depends what sort of friend.
Yeah.
Like, if Mark's getting a little fluffy towards the end of his mass, I'm just going to say to him, like, Mark, when's your mini cut?
Mate, you roasted me yesterday.
What did you say?
Not roasted, but it was like friendly banter. So I like posted a story on the hit press. I mean,
you'd already roasted yourself.
Yeah, I roasted myself. You knew. Well, then Callum just dug the knife in.
Basically, Mike was doing the uni leg press, posted the vid with the death face.
Yeah.
And then I think in your comments, you're like, in hindsight, like, definitely had one more rep left. And I was like, yeah, like one or two at least. Like, yeah. That's definitely not a failure.
And I replied like, I won't fail you, King, or rather I will fail.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying to get to.
Definitely 2 reps left.
That's cute. You guys put each other like that. For me personally, I would make the whole situation about just wanting to see them. It'd be like, hey man, I know you're busy. I know you got some stuff. You might have some stuff going on at the moment. I want to hang out with you. you want to come to the gym with me? And then the whole idea, the focus would just be seeing them and being with them just for it. Even if the workout's not spectacular and all that, because I'm always been one who likes to train solitary as well, unless I'm with my girlfriend. But I would just say to him, hey, man, and then we'd hop on the bikes and just like talk about that and then start pushing some stuff. And, you know, by the end, you might see him trying to put more effort or feel good or whatever. You're shaking your head. What's going on?
Keep going, man. Keep going.
Yeah, so that's it wouldn't be about that. But then while I'm doing, I'm trying to give him encouragement, trying to give him compliments. Hey, man, you're doing pretty good at this exercise and all that. You want to come back and do it again sometimes? Fantastic and all that. That's the main thing, really. A focus would be for them and take the shift away from what they look, trying to get them better and all that, just to be them. Yeah, go on. Yeah, you got something to say.
No, nothing, dude.
It's about to unleash.
No.
Yeah, let the demon out.
No. Nothing, bro. Please continue. I'm listening.
No, that's it for me.
What's the next question, Joe?
Okay, moving on. Alrighty. So in a day of this age of information and misinformation, who would you say are some credible figures to look up to when it comes to health, fitness and health advice? We shit talked on a lot. Now it's time to praise some.
Do you guys follow this guy called Ben Yanes a lot? At Ben Yanes? Yep. Like a biomechanist?
No, I don't follow him.
Yeah, okay. So he is, I wouldn't say sort of a well-known, but he's like that subtle under-the-curtain biomechanist that has a lot of quality information to put out there. With him, he's very textbook to the T, very to the T to the textbook. And a lot of people hate him for that because he's a bit too perfect, too picture perfect. Kind of like a coach, Eugene Teo, but he's more of like a more cleaner Eugene Teo. Mm. Eugene Teo, of course, has some considerations here and there and say, all right, if exhibit A exhibits this, then it should be different. Mm. But with Ben Yanes, it's most likely, hey, it's A or B. That's it. You have to execute it like this, or that's not right. Yeah, so I think with Ben Yanes, I do like his content, but it's very, very controversial for a lot of his opinions because it actually challenges a lot of the old school mechanics, which is just put the weight on the bar and press it. No fancy angles. The muscles don't see no angles. You can't really separate the pec minor and the pec major. You can't really do more of a hamstring focus or glute focus RDL and RDLs and RDL for getting a big back and big glutes. That's it. So I kind of actually like guys who challenge the old school approach. It actually gives another avenue for me to really open my mind and really question about the methodologies and doctrines that I believe in. So Ben Yanes is pretty good.
Just to add on that, I actually do believe that RDLs are like the god tier hamstring exercise.
Yeah.
Not even that, but they are an accessory as well to deadlifts. So back at you. Mark?
I guess someone who's... Well, I guess well-educated, evidence or science-based, but isn't like a Nancy about the evidence in the literature, or not someone that cherry-picks one study and then suddenly says, this is the answer. It's kind of like someone who's open-minded enough to look at the whole body of literature and say, this is where the trends are heading. This is what the research suggests, so it might help to... It might help you in your journey to try this, but not someone who's, I guess, too cut and dry in their ways, where it's kind of like gospel or cult-like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Eric Helms or like anyone from 3DMJ or Renaissance periodization, that sort of thing. Speaking from the bodybuilding side of things, I guess.
Yeah, I'll split that straight up into like topics because there's obviously different credible sources based on what you're looking at. So bodybuilding, I pull a lot of information from John Jewett and Luke Miller, as well as, I can't pronounce his surname, but his Instagram's Callum Team Pro Coach.
Mm.
In terms of like rehab, injury prevention and management, obviously Dr. Andrew Locke, as well as I watch a lot of Nick McCallum. Mm. And through him, I started reading and looking a little bit about guys like Charlie Francis and Ian King, old school coaches that just follow the basic principles to a T. and don't necessarily place literature on a pedestal. They also acknowledge real world results and application. And they also have some sporting background too. So in terms of nutrition, guys like Jackson Pios and all the JPS education crew. So sort of three topics there, and there's obviously some credible sources within them that I generally like to pull information from and create my own basically training ethos and sort of mindset, I guess, from all of those sources. I basically pick and choose. I don't get in a washing machine of one source and think they know everything. I like to pick what I want to from each person, but I think they're all credible sources.
That's actually bang on as well, because when it comes to the people that I follow, it's like almost for a different topic. As it being a personal trainer, I always look up to the ones who are very successful what they do in terms of personal training. So, you know, I'm someone who definitely looks up to James Smith, even though I would say he's very controversial. He's quite controversial these days. There's some things he put out, again, don't 100% agree with. But he's always been really well known for calling out things. And there's one thing, you can be very, very educated, but in this day and age, if you want to follow him, you have to be able to communicate. And I feel like he's got that nailed down, that mix of like educational and humor side of things. Also follow the guy, I'm going to get butchered for saying this, the dude who runs Squat University.
I know the guy.
Yeah, well, thank fuck. Okay, because I just ordered this book, Rebuilding Milo. And then also Dr. Marcus Relati and all that. He's been very well known, really sorted by Lane Norton and all that. He's pretty much also on a wall with Liver King. I love that.
Oh, man, Liver King.
can we talk about that guy for a while, a moment?
That's the most trusted quote, Liver King and Dr. Paul Saladino, carnivore diet.
What's your take on that, boys?
Extreme anything's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. If you just look...
We've been preached... It's not like any new phenomenon that a balanced approach to nearly anything, your workplace, your diet, your relationships, your training, your nutrition, a balanced approach is the avenue towards a sustainable and healthy approach to most scenarios in life. And so that obviously applies to the diet. Why are you just eating one source?
I just think there was one thing that he said as well, like on a podcast, he goes, the man, the carnivore diet is the best, most superior diet. Like back in the tribal day, I can't do an American accent, by the way, back in the tribal days, if you had a weak heart,
that accent was good. Keep going.
Yeah. They give you, if you have a weak heart, they'll give you a heart to eat and it'll strengthen it. And I was like, if that was the case, every man on this planet would be eating animal dicks just so he can make his bigger. Like if you had a small dick, okay, go eat a dick. Like a horse cock or something for dinner. That way yours is going to get bigger. No, dummy, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So if I eat brains, it's going to make me smarter. And I think that.
I mean, to play a devil's advocate, I think he's done a really good job at profiting off of his little niche, his brand, his business, profiting off of the current social media culture. And I guess, what's the word? Like, he's like new, it's fancy, it's
unique. That kind of unique. Talking about Liver King?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to, I guess, think like, yeah, power to anybody. Yeah, sure, they're like making money, they're taking care of their family. But that for me stops when you're then detracting from somebody else. Like if his supplements, his way of life, the things he preaches then negatively impact somebody, then fuck the power to him. Fuck him making money. You're just a piece of shit now.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. Yeah, I mean, it's
like
just
the bad car salesman. Like,
yeah,
power to you. Like you're working your job, you're hustling. But if you're ripping somebody off that worked hard for their money, then fuck you.
Yeah, Liver King, I saw him on a recent podcast with the Nelk Boys, and he revealed that his abs are actually implants.
Really?
So Liver King, it's not all naturally attained by just a carnivore diet.
Oh.
Yeah. Natty.
I didn't even know that. I'm
fucking surprised.
Yeah.
I'm actually so surprised,
man.
I knew it was legit.
That's becoming increasingly like a thing in today's society where people are getting muscle implants.
Yeah, I think calf implants are currently the biggest thing because some guys are very, very, very ashamed of their calves.
So they should be.
Yeah.
I've accepted my calves, you know what I mean? My calves are a part of my body, even though they're not the biggest thing, they're not the biggest part. I've accepted them, you know?
What's the biggest part?
my ego.
It's hard. Okay.
My heart. Thank you. It's the
biggest. Yeah, but like back to Liver King. Hey, I actually, before Liver King, I actually found a few guys, fitness dudes, kind of going into the natural lifestyle, like the primal way, like waking up super early, staring into the sun, getting those sun rays, stimulating your eyeballs, getting that vitamin D in, eating first thing in the morning, just red meat, eggs, milk, cold showers, no shampoo, no conditioner. Oh. Man, that was tough, dude. I freaking stank. It's not good. Yeah, so I don't know why like these guys are coming up with it, but I think it's very attractive because you tap into a unforeseen market. Everyone else is doing, oh, take this, take that, drink this, drink that. Those guys are saying, no, don't do all those extra things. Do the simple things. Mm-hmm. Do things that are natural. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so, so profiting, but also so attractive. Yeah.
So what are we saying, boys? Natty or not natty?
Liver King? I actually sent him a DM one time.
Yeah, did
I
you?
Think, yeah, yeah, I did. But then, yeah, it just didn't work out. No reply.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think he is definitely not natty.
Yeah, no chance of hell.
Yeah, I think we can pretty.
Yeah, if I had to bet my house,
is natty or not? Never the right thing to guess on somebody's natty card status, I guess. But in that case, it's pretty cut and dry, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I just can't stand in today's society is don't lie to me. Especially when you have a platform that much influence. Don't lie to me when something's so blatantly obvious as well. One thing I actually respect a lot these days is when people come out and confess their steroid use, or they come out and confess their PED use, when it was in a non, even if it was just a non-sporting sense as well. Like, even if they're like on TR2, and that's absolutely cool, but when they're trying to use saying they're 100% natty to push something to make money off it because they feel like they're going to get critiqued, I'm like, mate, you're getting critiqued anyway for lying, so you may as well just come clean. So, like, for example, whenever I see someone who's juiced up on Instagram and I go to their profile and it says all natty, and then it's a photo of them and they've got more veins on their neck than Google has streets on a map, and they're saying, oh, this is attainable by my supplements or by my program for 12 weeks. And I'm like, do you honestly think that's going to get you results? But people buy into it. That's the problem. And then that's what makes guys who are trying to be simple or trying to be honest makes their job so much more harder as well. Anyway.
I agree, but I also disagree in the case of people who come out with their steroid use after years of claiming to be natty.
Ooh, that's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, and then people all go to praise them, but it's like, why are you glorifying honesty when honesty should be the baseline?
I've got a question on that topic.
They should just take that shit to the grave.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, well, I'd rather have it then, because like if you say, for example, so before we come to you, Johnny, that's like, right. What's his name?
Johnny, he's telling you not come clean, bro.
I've got something.
Let's say, for example, Neil Armstrong, right? Lance Armstrong.
Let's just say, wasn't that the
case? <Yeah, sorry. laughs> Okay. Lance Armstrong, when he came out, like, I had more respect for him for them when coming out, because if he'd rather come out and confess it and then someone like find out and expose him. Because it's like, nah, I'm telling the world and all that. Even though he did a whole bunch of, I would say what he did before then was questionable. But, you know, with the whole what he did when he ruined all those reporters' lives. But he at least had the guts to come out and all that. And then he realized that he had admitted that he'd done wrong. And when you admit to doing wrong to something, you know, I feel like that's a much, much better avenue to go down. Because you're willing to accept the consequences of what's about to happen. Johnny?
So when are you releasing your video? Joseph Turner confessions.
For what?
Natty or not?
I got roasted for saying on a not gonna lie app saying I have no physique. So I don't know why I could. And every time
his track bar deadlift's not that impressive. Joey's definitely natty.
Just there. Whenever I put up something on TikTok or Instagram and someone says you have no idea what you're talking about, when it's like basic fucking science when it comes to fitness as well. Like I put up a
you read into these comments too much, just ignore it.
I do,
yeah,
I do, I know that, but I just fucking, sometimes they just, I'm just, when the people are just so comfortable talking behind the thing, talking about the camera, talking about the phone, like, it's just...
What are you looking at, Callum?
No, your shirt. I like it.
I got it for free.
Yeah. Nice quality shirts.
Yeah. Before I wrap it up, just... Yeah, I mean, I do read into it. I would say that's something I've got to get better at as well, better responding to. But I'll tell a scenario, like, that on that not going to lie thing and all that, I didn't openly state this. But there were the ones I put up, I was very comfortable putting up and all that, because I know that you could talk shit about me, that's fine, go ahead. But then on that, I'm not going to lie, there was like 6 messages I got from like 1 or 2 people that I found out about. And then they were saying things about my mum and they were saying things about my girlfriend. And I was like, all right, motherfuckers.
And it's freaking John Wick mode right there, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit that John Wick switch just then. And I called him up on a private number. I said, hey, is this, you're the one who sent that? And then caught them off completely. But when you confront these people and all that, they back off. Like, no one sticks true to it, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. Moving on to the next question. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self when you just started training, what advice would you give them?
Get a coach. Get a good coach.
Stop doing bench press all the time, honestly. I think I tore my rotator cuff when I was like 14 or 15 because I kept on benching. I had pain in my right shoulder. I was like, oh, no pain, no gain, right? And just kept on getting worse. And I couldn't even raise a dumbbell overhead.
Shit.
Yeah, so, and then I started doing some face pulls. Shout out to Dr. Andrew Locke.
Mm-hmm. Probably just 8 more. Yeah. Pretty happy with my training. It has got me to where I am. Not that I'm happy with where I am, but... if you take away what has made you who you are now, or you change it, then what's the point? You've got nothing to learn from. But yeah, a lesson to a former self would, yeah, just be 8 more consistently too. No sort of, and I tell this to a lot of guys, I go, oh, really? Like, I'm trying to get bigger. How much do I need to eat? Just find an amount to eat and then eat that for 3 months and progress it slowly throughout that 3 months. So let's say you start at 3.5, progress it up to 4,000 calories over a 3 month period, but hit that every day. So that would be a lesson to myself, because yeah, in the past I've probably not grown or developed as I should because of just a ill-managed diet.
For me, just learn to take a rest day, learn to rest more, because
fuck yeah, you were psycho in uni, bro. Fucking rock up to the 9 a.m. lecture like 3 monsters deep. Be like, yeah, I've been up since 3 working at the warehouse. I'm like, I was like, fuck it. And then you're gonna go work at that night.
Yeah, they're true.
And I'm like, fuck, man, just needs to have a sleep. Hey, fuck.
I honestly look it back at what I did, but I had to do the things I do because I had to do those things because of my financial situation at the time, and what I wanted and what I was working towards, and it did miles on my body, man. It definitely did. But I was at that age where I fought you. So that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you can do and all that. But I would definitely say, as unhealthy as it was, looking back at that time, I was like, fuck, I can't believe I actually did that. And that's what set me up to everything I'm doing. For the record, I am still waking up super, super early. But I'm definitely not training as much or as many muscles deep. So if it's a really, really busy day where I will not get a chance to work out, I will wake up at 4.
Okay.
And the gym's literally 5 minutes away from my house. Takes me about 10 minutes to get everything together. I'll drive down, hop on the bike, or do just over an hour of a workout. Head in, do the clients, get to about 12, sneak in a quick nap, food, start sales at 2, finish at 7. And because my partner... This is on a day when my partner works FIFO, she's away, I'll go to bed at like 8:30. So I'll finish work at 7, get home 7:15, have my dinner, and then I'll just read in bed and I'll fall asleep and all that. So there's no watching TV, no playing video games, nothing. I turn my phone off as soon as I get home as well.
Respect.
So that's why I'm able to do that, but yeah. I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. and doing work from like 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. then come to a lecture. Da, da, da.
I'm pretty sure I saw you wake up at like 3:30 one day. Hey, 3:30, 3 a.m. Yeah,
that's most days at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there a specific reasoning why?
Yeah. Get ready for work.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
I'm not going to say like I fucking work harder than somebody because I wake up earlier.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Yeah. It's just the time that I have to get up to do my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you so got that from me.
Or the 5 o'clock clients, yeah.
Yeah.
Either way. Alrighty. So, outside of the gym and in terms of nutrition, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to improve their health overall? And this could be in terms of mental, physical, and spiritual. And that would be our last question.
I think what I'd like to answer to that is, what do you want in life, honestly? What do you want? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? Write it down. Write it down. Because for a while, heading to the gym, I didn't really have any goals. I thought, I just saw this year 12 guy, super jacked, like, I want to be like him. And that's why I went to the gym. But I find that nowadays, with so much social media influence and all those things, ways to eat, whatever, that we actually lack a goal to step foot into the gym. And there's actually no intrinsic motivation. It's all extrinsic. I want to look at like this person, I want to look like Joe Turner, I want to look like Callum Tarfield, I want to look like Mark and all that stuff. We're always looking out, but we're actually not looking in. So start slow. Start with a reason why you want to step in the gym, why you want to gain more muscle, why you want to eat better. So find your why first before you look into the extra stuff.
Love that.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, set a goal, but then also don't let the goal be the be-all, end-all. Appreciate the journey towards the goal. And I guess find a goal that you can enjoy the journey rather than set a goal and then kill yourself and hate the journey just to achieve the goal, because then at the end of it, it's just an empty feeling. I've done that many a time in my career as a musician, but yeah.
I'd probably just say be real with what you expect to achieve, and this probably applies to any situation you want to grow or progress. So we can talk about lifestyle, gym, diet, bodybuilding, powerlifting. Just be aware and be conscious that your results will be a direct outcome of how much work you put in. If you put more work in, you're going to get more results and at a quicker rate than somebody that does less work. So let's say that is you want to work on your meditation. If you meditate for 3 hours a day, once morning, once lunch, one night, you're going to get really fucking good at that really quickly. Yeah. If you do it once a week, you're not going to get very good. So, and neither one of them is better. So not saying the 3 hours a day is the better. Just be aware of whatever you're trying to progress. Let's say it's the gym. Your results will be a direct outcome of how much work you put in. And work doesn't always mean you have to grind away as you used to. Work might be, all right, I'm going to nail my water. I'm going to nail my food. I'm going to nail my training today. No bitch reps on the uni lat leg press. And then I'm going to nail my 8 hours of sleep.
Nice.
As opposed to the person next door that is doing two or three of those variables. So that's probably my advice, is just be real with what you expect to achieve based on how much work you're putting in.
Nice. If I could nail it, I can't hone it in, but if it was three things that came to mind, the first one would just get more sleep. That's the main thing. Now, so many of society these days is so sleep deprived, and when you actually learn to prioritize it, the effects on the body in terms of mental and physical are insane. It's probably the most underrated supplement out there. Next thing is get the fuck off social media. We've spoken so much about it on this podcast, on this episode. You know, that's something as well. Myself, I'm trying to learn a little bit more of just getting off, and that's why I put that phone away at night. And then the third one is just journal. It's something that I've always been quite passionate about, always telling people to do, because when you journal and when you're writing down your thoughts on the paper, you become more present, you become more of an active thinker as well. So, is that. Gentlemen, is there anything we want to add before we wrap this up?
I'd like to say thank you, Joe. We appreciate you greatly, man. And you're doing good work, man.
Thank you.
I know it's been a tough ride, but I see the fruits of your labor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, that comment you just said that Johnny applies to everyone in the room, I guess. I sort of watch from the sidelines of social media, I guess, observing everyone doing their own thing, everyone in this room. And it's really good to see everyone progressing and doing their own thing to their best of their abilities. Like, I watch you a lot, Johnny, and your lifts keep going up. They keep going up, keep going
Thanks,
up.
Thanks, man.
And I don't know what's going on in your personal life, but your gym life seems fucking well.
So, thanks, man.
Good job. Good job to everyone in this room.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right, boys. So this is just something I do at the end of every podcast. If the audience wants to find you and follow you, where can they?
You can find me on OnlyFans if you click link in my button. I was kidding. You can find me on Instagram at @Johnny_Rucci. So that's RUCCIS _ gym.
You can find me on Instagram at @MarkYWarriner.
Instagram at @CoachCallumTough.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening to the Last Head Podcast, and that is game.